And welcome back to Living Blended. I'm Colby.
And I'm Megan.
And this is episode seven. Yeah, seven of these. Hoping to get back to our bi-weekly schedule that we were trying to stick to.
Mm-hmm. Life gets in the way sometimes.
Yeah, and I think it'll get in the way more, especially in the holidays. Yeah. So today, we plan to talk about kind of the big decisions that we're going to have to make in the future, some that have already passed, and just kind of talk through maybe what some of the biggest ones are.
And kind of how we made those decisions and
yeah, why. Yeah, or how we plan to. And yeah. I think there's still some that we'll talk about that we haven't even got to yet, but the things that we're thinking about now that can help there. Okay, so what's new?
New job going well.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Doing some wedding planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the wedding planning isn't nearly as stressful, I don't think,
it's not super involved. Yeah, mm-mm. It's kind of more low-key and laid-back, and it's, I think, a good representation of us and our family.
Yeah, what's our plan?
We are going to Colorado. It's not quite an elopement, because I feel like elopement has like that connotation of you're running off and not telling anybody and that kind of thing. But
yeah. And we should say we're in Texas.
We are in Texas. DFW. Yes. So we're running off to Colorado. We are taking the kids with us, and mm-hmm. just want them to be a part of our day and their day too. We're taking our parents,
mm-hmm.
my grandparents, and that's pretty much it.
Yep.
I mean,
family and what did you say? Go into the mountains
and we're gonna get married.
Okay, so
that
reminds me. Have you listened to Smartlist, the podcast Smartlist?
Mm-hmm.
No, they always reference Tracy in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. I don't listen to it enough to pick up on some of the subtleties of the jokes.
Yeah, but whenever they're talking about something that is specific to the, well, it's not even something that's specific to the entertainment industry, but they could just be explaining to something, some like, I don't know. They're not even complex things. They're just, anyway, when you said that, it made me think of their Tracy in Wisconsin joke. Because we just lost Tracy in Wisconsin there. She hit stop and moved on.
Mm-hmm. Tired of being referenced in everybody's podcast, never get anything for it.
Probably. I think it's supposed to be, who is the guy from Will and Grace that's on that?
I'm blanking on his
name. Yeah, Sean Hayes. It's supposed to be like Sean Hayes' sister
is who they're joking about. Okay.
Okay, yeah, so we have that we're kind of planning and mm-hmm. figuring out. We're coming up on Christmas.
Yep, going to Portland to go mm-hmm. visit your sister.
Yes.
Super and excited about it.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
yep, yep. I know, I'm excited too. We haven't, Carter's six, and she has yet to meet him face to face. Like they've video chatted a bunch. I know, it's just, I mean, the last 2 years has basically been a blur. Well, coming up on 2 years, I guess. It'll be nice to get out there.
To your COVID-versary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And I haven't been up to Portland to see their place either. So
be new for all of us.
It's been a long time since I've seen them. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. So we're planning for that. So that's why we're probably going to, I think we might record a couple episodes. So we have at least one in the hopper because we're going to be
traveling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. traveling and Christmas is going on and New Year's, and we just got a lot going on right now.
Which I think everybody does is the holidays.
Yeah. It's just, I think it's proven to be more of a challenge to sit down and record,
mm-hmm.
Especially when we can't get, well, we have these two fur babies running around.
Westy and a corgi entertaining all offers. Yeah. Saying.
Sometimes with a nearly 6 year old, Carter turns six tomorrow. With a nearly six-year-old and a three-and-a-half-year-old, it's a hard time to find time to just us to sit mm-hmm. down and record or even talk or plan. So I'm glad we're able to do this today. All right, are we ready to jump into it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so the first one that we were going to talk about is spending the night. Well, I guess we should go back maybe first to a couple that we've already addressed.
Yeah, so we've like meeting the kids.
Yeah, we've already talked a little bit about meeting the kids. That's obviously a huge thing.
Right. Spending more time together, like kind of building that slowly. I think the first like major step of like, hey, this is becoming like a family unit is that kind of overnight stay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think the, I guess meeting isn't really creating that family unit. It was more.
Yeah. I mean, because that could be a friend. Like you could, I think it goes from, as far as I know, you don't have, Randy sleeping over and sleeping in the same bed. At least I don't know that. If that's
okay. I mean, occasionally.
Occasionally, I don't know where I would be.
It depends how cold I get.
Okay.
But no, that's a good point. This is probably, and it would be. I think that time would probably be different depending on their ages.
Mm-hmm.
A teenager watching their dad or mom go out on a date is probably, or even meeting could be way more impactful to them than a 6-year-old or 5-year-old or 4.
Yeah, they were, when we met, Carter had just turned 4. Caden was not even 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think you're right there. So we've already talked about that in a previous episode. Any other big decisions that we made kind of through our noise? I don't know what that was. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was in my head. Any other decisions that we've made?
I think moving in was a big step.
Yeah. Like
moving in together was a big step.
Yeah.
And deciding kind of when that would be appropriate and sort of how to go about that.
Yeah, I was thinking even more before the first night. I don't know. Nothing's jumping out to me. Okay, well then let's talk about the first night. So what were some of the things that you felt like we were focused on doing to have as little impact on the kids as possible?
I think we did a lot of like where I would, like when I first started, coming around more and more frequently, I would stay maybe like through dinner and then leave and y'all would do bedtime on your own. And then I would start staying through bedtime and until, they went to sleep and, so that they kind of got used to me being here for that sort of routine.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of adding on to that, maybe, the following weekend, I would stay through bedtime routine. I would go to where I was living at the time and then I would come back early the next morning and bring breakfast so that it wasn't quite a full continuation of like they woke up and I was here, but they'd only been up for, 30 minutes or so. And then I was back.
Yeah. And I remember talking about that with you because that happened over like the course of several months.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I remember you talking about, I think that's how your dad, was it your mm-hmm. dad that handled it that way?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked the idea.
Yeah. It was him and my stepmom, and I was, I think, 8 when my dad and my biological mom divorced. And yeah, I remember when my stepmom first started spending the night and things like that, that it was that kind of thing, that it was a slow, gradual build.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember like what that was like for you?
I will say my stepmom, was at the time was significantly younger than my dad. And I thought she was just so cool. And she she loved hair and makeup and things like that. And I was an 8-year-old girl. And so I just thought she was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And so I was just ecstatic when she was around. And, she was fun and she would hang out with me and kind of do things that I wanted to do and all of that. So I was, because I was younger at the time than I was, than maybe like a teenager. So mm-hmm. I think it's probably different because I was younger and, there's that novelty that the kids kind of have. And I think younger kids tend to attach more easily to another adult or another parental figure. So I was really ecstatic about it all the time. And I was begging for her to spend the night,
mm-hmm.
Even before she ever did.
So did you remember that because your dad told you that that's what they did? Or do you remember it like when you were 8?
I think it's a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it's hard. It's easy hard to conflate that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have talked to my dad a lot about blended families throughout this because like I've said before, my dad and my stepmom, I really respect the way that they have handled our blended family.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've been over there when their whole, we've seen a picture of us at Thanksgiving. Yeah, even at Thanksgiving.
26 of them.
I know. You look at us and you can't really tell who's biologically related and who's not and things like that. And because there's blended family, we're a blended family, but then there's blended families within the blended family. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, like there were two within the just like mm-hmm. your brother. Good Lord, Scout. Must you? Sorry. Yeah, there was at least two blended families within the blended families.
Yeah. Yeah, there was... my stepbrother has a bonus son, and my niece has her blended family. They have one of hers from a previous relationship, one of his from a previous relationship, mm-hmm. and they have a baby together. Mm-hmm. Super cute, can't stand me, won't come to me at all, or mm-hmm. you or yeah. anybody else, really, nope. actually. Yeah, she's so pretty, though.
Yeah. Okay, anything else on moving in?
Spending the night. No, I think that it became, I mean, again, but their kid, you know, they're super young. I think it became where I felt like it was kind of time to go down that road. We did sort of pump the brakes a little bit because the kids were asking far before we ever spent the night, like before I ever spent the night the first
time. Oh, asking for you to
yeah.
spend the night. Yes.
Like every time we would go to bed.
They would get upset. They would go upset, because they knew you were leaving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then that's when we started, you know, yeah, they would start asking, like, well, you know, you should spend the night here. And I remember asking Carter, like, well, I don't, you know, where would I sleep? And at first he would say, you know, you can sleep on the couch, you can sleep in here. And then eventually he was like, well, you would sleep in daddy's bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, I think, when we were like, okay, well, he's a little bit older than Caden. Like, he knows something is different.
Right.
So, I
think that's a fair point. And that's when I kind of felt really comfortable with it too, was when, because I feel like most of this, we're just going at their speed.
Yeah.
Or at least trying to go at their speed, trying to read them and go at their speed.
Yeah.
And that's when I felt like I knew they were really comfortable with it. Yeah. And that's when I became more comfortable with it.
Yeah. I remember a couple of times, because I had gotten in the habit of, like I said, coming back the next morning, you know, mm-hmm. fairly early, bring breakfast, whatever. It was when Caden would ask, like, you come in the morning? I'm like, okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was like, okay, they're good with this.
Yeah.
So,
okay, so then the next big step for us was moving in together, mm-hmm. which is really big. I think especially as kids are older, that can be a big culture shock to them.
Yeah, especially, I mean, I definitely know that we're at an advantage because the kids are so young.
For sure. I think about that a lot.
I do too, that especially Caden, like, he's known us living together longer than he's known any other facet of his life.
Right.
Us being together longer than he's known anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, he's only 3 and a half, so he doesn't have that much, you know, length to go off of. But
had that foundation.
Right.
Whereas
if your parents divorce when you're 10 or 12 or 15,
right,
you have a whole lifetime of a norm that you're trying to not only readjust to, but then re-readjust to.
Right.
So because they were so young, I think, because they are so young, I don't think they ever really had that, especially Caden, I don't think they ever had that, like, super pre-established.
Yeah.
And so it made that that easier.
Yeah, I think the same applies to Carter, though.
Yeah.
I mean, Carter struggled with it more, like when I separated from his mom, struggled mm-hmm. with it more. But I think even Carter kind of accepted that quicker.
Yeah.
Like, it was... you know, really accepting of you a lot quicker than I expected him to be.
And I kind of went off of, because, you know me, I'm very language oriented. Like, words of affirmation is my love language. I'm a very wordy person, especially written, but I noticed, like, nuances in language. And I remember the first time, I wasn't officially living here yet. I was spending a lot of time here, spending the night, you know, more often than not. But he said something about, he was asking where something was. He was like, oh, I left it in you and daddy's room. And when that kind of clicked, because before he would just say daddy's room.
Mm-hmm.
And when that sort of changed, it kind of clicked in my head, like, oh, he's kind of already putting this, you know, together, that this is something that's going forward, that this is a shared family home and not, you know, not just daddy's home.
Yeah.
So,
and we also, I think the first time you spent the night, we also talked about waking up before mm-hmm. them. And so they didn't, like, come into our bedroom.
Right.
I think we ended up being more comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But that was a thought that
crossed our mind too. That was, intentional, that, like, rather than coming in and we're both asleep or something like that, like, they come in and we're, like, we're already awake and, like, hey, good morning, you know, so they, I mean, of course, now it's totally different. Now it's come in and just crawl in bed with us and it's, like, try to roll over and get 5 more minutes of sleep.
I know, yeah.
At the time, it was, it was different.
Yeah. Okay, so then let's jump to moving in. So when we decided to move in together, which kind of was a super informal process. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the case most of the time.
Yeah.
That it's like you kind of move in and then you realize, oh, I've moved in.
Right.
You know, like your toothbrush is over and you got a change of clothes and you basically have enough stuff to live for 3 or 4 days and then maybe you go back. And we were doing it in smaller chunks. I guess we should go straight to where you were here kind of full time, where we got to the point where you were here full time. Because I can't think of anything that was.
It would just gradually be like because we either have them in a 5-day stretch or a 2-day stretch. Mm-hmm. And it would be like in a 5-day stretch, I would be
here. And you were here when we didn't have them for the 5 days or 2 days.
Yeah. When they were with their mom, I would be here. I mean.
You were here all the time.
Time. Yeah.
Right.
And so I was already living here half the time anyway. And then once I started spending the night, it would be like, you know, 1 out of the 5 days. And then it was 2 out of the 5 days. And then gradually just kind of grew and grew and grew. And it just kind of happened sort of by happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't even, like I said, it didn't even dawn on me that in their mind pretty much that I was living here until Carter said that. Like, it's in, like, I don't remember what he was referencing, but it's in you and Daddy. It's you're in Daddy's room.
Yeah.
Or maybe he was talking to Caden, like in Daddy and Megan's room. Either way, he equated it that to being both of ours.
Right.
And not just yours. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you had just, I think you had just signed a lease too.
You were pretty freshly signed
on a lease.
Yeah. My nephew actually ended up living there. So it worked out.
Yeah.
He got a pretty sweet deal. Like 6 months of him living pretty cheap in a 2-bedroom apartment by himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things that was really important to me was keeping up with routines.
Mm-hmm.
Also because we were dealing with some behavioral issues at that time. Looking back on it, it could have had to do with the fact that there was a change in their life,
mm-hmm.
you know? I don't know. But so we wanted to stick with specific habits and rituals. Like, I mean, it was like clockwork here.
Yeah.
It still is.
Oh, yeah. I'm very much I am a creature of habit. I respond to routines really well. I mean, you know, I get up at the same time pretty much every morning and go through the same sort of routine. And I think that helps me kind of stay centered and grounded. And I think it helps with the kids too.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they know what to expect.
Right. I totally agree. And I think that's the biggest thing, that they know what to expect. Yeah. So it's easy to be comfortable.
Right.
I feel like all people are like that.
Yeah.
I
know my kids whether they admit different. It or not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that I kind of internally struggle with, and I think when we talked about just prepping for this, it seemed like you didn't know this.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been just something that I was dealing with in my head. But it was when to kind of let go and let you handle some discipline at times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had read that there are several different ways that blended families do this. And, you know, it also depends on the situation of the blended family. Like, are they two families bringing in, each of them bringing in kids, you know, which could get more challenging. And, you know, or even a blended family that had kids together, you know, do they, maybe the dad or the mom or the bio parent disciplines a specific way and the other parent disciplines the other way. I think we're lucky in that.
We discipline very similarly.
Similarly. I mean, that was something we talked about really early on too.
But yeah, we definitely discipline very similarly. We have very common or very shared beliefs when it comes to positive parenting.
Yeah.
And even things like, I mean, we talked about initially, like we don't believe in spanking or anything, any of those kinds of things. So, yeah, I think that really helped. I didn't know that the discipline thing was something that was, I don't know, you had to work through in your head. I didn't know my place when it was that, like,
yes.
you know, at
yeah.
the time. Like,
I know we talked about that.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, like, where I should step in and handle, but I also knew that, like, if one of them hauled off and hit the other one, I couldn't just let it go. Like,
right.
I've been a teacher for a long time. I have 17,000 nieces and nephews, I feel like. And so, like, I'm no stranger to kids and no stranger to discipline. And so it just felt natural for me to kind of, like, if they're fighting over Legos, to step in and handle it myself.
Yeah. And it was some of it was a kind of a pride thing for me. Like, you know, if I was struggling in getting the kids to behave a certain way or to act a certain way, I would struggle with it and I'd want to see it through to the end. Mm-hmm. So part of it had to do with that, but part of it had to do with that being a kind of a surprise to them when you would set expectations, right? Not necessarily enforce discipline or tell them, hey, stop jumping off the couch, but kind of set the expectation of what you expected them to do as the parent.
Right.
You know, like that, those things are the things that I thought about more.
Okay.
And I wanted to just be very careful to kind of slowly bring that into their lives. Because, I mean, it's not something they're unfamiliar with. They've both been in daycare environments where, mm-hmm. you know,
an adult
substitute.
Has, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of an adult just comes into their life and is the authority figure. Right. So it wasn't something foreign to them, but I wanted to make sure that we kind of slow played it.
Yeah. I mean, and really, my initial goal was not, the first few months that I was around, it was more, I wanted to bond with them more than anything.
Yeah.
And so I did, you know, so taking on discipline and things like that was a slow progression because I didn't want that to be the basis of our relationship. I wanted to have like a real true bond with them first. So that A, they would have that respect and that sense of authority, and also so that our entire relationship wouldn't be based on like, now you have to share your Legos.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And the next big decision is one we're kind of still working through, mm-hmm. and it's a wedding.
Bum, bum, ba-da,
yeah. Bum, okay. We already sang and lost Tracy in Wisconsin. Okay. So what are some of the things that you felt like we talked about or we thought about as we were prepping for, a wedding, which I should say you didn't know that I was going to engage. We talked about marriage.
We talked about it. I didn't know. I was surprised. Like I didn't know where, and we talked about it. We knew that it was in our plans going forward. We just didn't know exactly when or where, like where in our relationship timeline that would happen. So, I guess I don't know what made it, I don't know, feel good for you to get there. I don't know what got you there. Like what, you know, made you want to propose and.
Yeah. But I guess my question was more, I mean, we can get into that, but, my question was more on the, once the wedding, maybe once the proposal happened mm-hmm. and we got engaged or even before talking about just getting married, because that big decision is probably less the wedding and more the marriage.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think we had it on the dock as a wedding, but now that I think about it, it's really the marriage that's the big decision, getting married.
Yeah, like, I mean, a wedding is a day. A marriage is, I mean, I want it for life. Yeah, I don't, which is why I don't care about the $30,000 whatever wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I want the marriage, not the wedding.
Yeah.
And I want the vacation in Colorado.
Okay, so when we started talking about the actual marriage,
mm-hmm.
I remember trying to explain it to Carter, like trying to talk to Carter, because I definitely wanted to talk to the kids first.
Right.
Well, really, Carter. Caden is not at an age where he understands. And if I told Caden, I knew that there was not going to be, I didn't tell Carter that I was going to propose.
Right.
But telling him anything, he would have been a blabbermouth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Caden can't keep a secret save his life.
Even talking with, I remember driving Carter to karate, I think, and he was talking about that a friend of his at school went to a wedding and he was asking what a wedding was and what being married meant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't even think he said wedding. I think he said he went to see people get married or something because he was asking what married means. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how do you explain a
right, to a five-year-old.
Marriage to a five-year-old?
And then we were in the car going somewhere. We're coming back from somewhere. I can't, but all four of us were in the car and he popped up from the back seat and said, like, he was just like, Dad, are you going to marry Megan?
Yeah.
You know, I was like, where did that come from?
Yeah, yeah. And I think I had to quiet him real quick because I had already bought the ring and I had already planned to.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, no, I think I told you that. Maybe I didn't.
Maybe you didn't know.
Yeah, no, I already had the ring at that point.
Oh.
That's why I never really answered his question.
Oh.
Yeah, I more just ask questions like, yeah. What do you know about marriage? What's marriage to you? What do you think married means? Yeah, so having a conversation with at least, you know, if they're of age, mm-hmm. and can understand it. Having a conversation with them about what it means, which, gosh, I wish I had a great resource for that, but I really couldn't find much.
Yeah.
I just tried to do it at their level. Just tried to speak at their level.
We do have a book, the Bonus Mom book, that's Bonus Mom, Bonus Dad, that talks about how marriage, I mean, to them, like, our relationship from their point of view, doesn't affect them a whole lot other than like bringing that person into their lives.
Yeah. And this isn't a self-help book. We're not talking about here.
No. It's a children's book.
Yeah.
And it's called Bonus Mom. You flip it over and it's called Bonus Dad. And the very first page is, my dad is getting married and it means that I'm getting a bonus mom. And then it goes and explains like a bonus mom doesn't replace my mom. It's just an extra mom. You know, she drives me to soccer and she picks me up from school and she teaches me how to tie my shoes or whatever it is. I can't remember all the things that are in there, but it kind of explains like, yes, daddy's getting married and this is what it means for my life. Like sort of breaks it down into, not just kid friendly terms, but, kids tend to be very egocentric, not necessarily in a bad way, but they don't think a whole lot about what exists outside of their own individual life. And so I think that for most kids, that's, you know, how is this going to affect me? And that kind of helped. We sat down and read it with Carter and tried with Caden, but he was off. Caden.
Yeah.
He was off doing his thing.
Yeah. And I think Carter, like, that was introducing him to the idea of what a bonus mom is, right, or what a stepmom is.
Yeah.
Because there was like, maybe it was a couple weeks after that, where he was like, well, we can just call you bonus mom.
Yeah.
I can't remember how he worded it. I'm flubbing it. But I remember thinking, God, that's a mouthful.
Right,
that's
that, like, is a mouthful. Megan's fine.
Yeah.
yeah. So.
But yeah, children's books are a great way. And there's a bunch out there.
Like, oh,
we
yeah,
have,
absolutely.
That's not the only one we have.
Yeah, we have
blended
bonus
families in general.
Yeah, bonus parents, blended families. I like that one in particular just because it goes both ways. Like, you flip the book over and quite literally it says, my mom's getting married and I'm getting a bonus dad.
Right.
And so that it is inclusive of like both sides of a blended family.
Right.
Or the two different sides of a blended family, like blended on one side and then the other blended family on the other.
Yeah. And then as far as the wedding goes, I think getting them involved in the planning of it.
Yeah.
Which there hasn't been a whole lot of planning that we've done yet. We've yet to talk about the ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah. But getting them involved in, you know, they'll probably be there to, as we page through a website to see where, you know, what flowers or what, what vendor we might use to, I don't know, do a charcuterie board or some sort of like, happy hour or something. And then also involving them in the ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a ton of resources for that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's, I mean, like blended family, like Unity candles and I mean, all kinds of, different resources that I kind of want to get their input on and talk through and see what, maybe not a candle. I don't know that I can trust Caden with a fire.
No,
but
not in the wilderness.
Mm-mm, no.
We're not trying to burn
down
Colorado.
Rocky Mountain National Park.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's tons of ways to include them in the ceremony, and I think that that's definitely something that's important.
Yeah, I've seen even people like change the name of it from wedding to there were several of them, like a blending family ceremony or something. Like, yeah, there was like several that were listed in one article that I was reading. Mm. It was just talking about all the different things that you can do to get kids involved.
Yeah,
because I feel like the more ownership that they have, the more they're going to
be excited about it,
embrace it, accept it. Yeah, be excited about it. Okay. Anything else on wedding or marriage?
No, I don't think so. I think really just my initial question, which was like, it came as a surprise to me. Like, I thought we were just going out for a date night kind of thing. And, I didn't know, like, I didn't know that you were there. So I wasn't sure what sort of got you there.
Some of it had to do with the kids. A lot of it had to do with us. I feel like whenever you're marrying into a blended family, you're not marrying just that person.
Mm-hmm.
You're marrying their kids too. Again, that's probably going to be part of our ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have a scene where they say, we do. Like, the kids actually are involved in that part of it. And I knew really, really early on. I had talked with my friends about it. Like, I knew really early on that the core of you was the person was a person that I wanted to be with forever. And the more that I saw the kids accept that and be excited about that and just love you unconditionally, you know, like once they started like abandoning me, you know, because I had them for 2 years, you know, as a single dad and just got all the hugs to myself and all the love to myself and all the fun. And then I, you know, there's a lot of fun in sharing that too.
Yeah.
But when they, you know, when they started to pull away from me more and embrace you, I don't know that there was like a single incident that made me kind of convinced that like pushed me to the point of going and getting a ring. It was more a lot of conversations, with friends. I mean, talking about it, what I was thinking and kind of getting feedback, because I'm thankfully I'm surrounded by a lot of guys and girls that are, they're not going to tell me what I want to hear.
Right.
They're going to be very frank with me. Yeah. Yes. They're going to be very frank with me. And I think that's helped me a ton over the last like 4 or 5 years in just development in general.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, I just ended up getting to the point of being totally confident in what we had and, you know, wanted to start a family with you going forward.
I'm super excited about it.
I know. We're counting down. We got 7 months. No, six months. Yep. 6 months. A little under 6 months.
Yep. Got to figure out how to change my name. No idea how to do that.
Yeah, I think it, I don't know, Social Security office or something. Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there. Okay, so next time we're talking about
transition days.
Those are fun. Until next time. Bye.